Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is our 1007th day together in the Word of God, and we're in Ezekiel 38 and a prophecy against Gog. And I said this is one of the trickiest chapters to interpret yesterday, if you were with us then, and it is. We're going to pray for help, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and insight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your word, we come to your truth, and we know you've given it to us for our blessing, for our edification, and for your glory in our lives and in your church. So please teach us your word, write it on our hearts, help us to grow in it, help us to grow in our love for you, our trust in you, our loyalty to King Jesus, and to your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ezekiel 38, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward Gog in the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn you about and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them, clothed in full armor, a great host, all of them, with buckler and shield, wielding swords, Persia, Cush, and Put are with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his hordes, Beth Togarma, from the uttermost parts of the north, with all his hordes. Many peoples are with you. Be ready and keep ready, you and all your hosts that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be mustered. In the latter years you will go against the land that is restored from war, the land whose people were gathered from many peoples upon the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. Its people were brought out from the peoples and now dwell securely, all of them. You will advance, coming on like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your hordes and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day, thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil scheme and say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will fall upon the quiet people who dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls and having no bars or gates, to seize, spoil, and carry off plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places that are now inhabited, and the people who were gathered from the nations, who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell at the center of the earth, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, and all its leaders will say to you, Have you come to seize spoil? Have you assembled your host to carry off plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to seize great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, Thus says the Lord God, On that day when my people Israel are dwelling securely, will you not know it? You will come from your place out of the uttermost parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great host, a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud covering the land. In the latter days I will bring you against my land, that the nations may know me, when through you, O Gog, I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, Are you he of whom I spoke in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who in these days prophesied for years that I would bring you against them? But on that day, the day that Gog shall come against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, my wrath will be roused in my anger. For in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath, I declare, on that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field and the creeping things that creep on the ground and the people who are on the face of the earth shall quake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the cliffs shall fall and every wall shall tumble to the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the Lord God, Every man's sword will be against his brother. With pestilence and bloodshed I will enter into judgment with him, and I will rain upon him and his hordes and the many peoples who are with him torrential rains and hailstones, fire and sulfur. So I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Well, what we have here is a prophecy regarding a ruler and a land that we don't know anything about. Who is Gog? He's the ruler of Magog. Where is Magog? We just don't know. I don't think that these are historically real in the time of Ezekiel. This is a name that's being used to represent this far-off, distant future. He's the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, which we're not even sure where those are. Seems like they come down from the north, so they're up in the northern part, far distant north of Israel, maybe in present-day Turkey, Syria, Iraq, somewhere in that area. We just don't know. But what we do know here is that this is in the distant future. This is in the latter days. This is right before the end. And there's going to be this unifying of great many peoples to come up against the people of God. Now, I do think we can see a little bit of this reflected in what the Romans did in Israel in AD 68 to 70, in those years of the Roman conquest of Judea and Jerusalem. They began in the north, they sacked the Jewish towns in and around Galilee and in the northern area, and they swept through Samaria, and they eventually encircled and burned down Jerusalem. And it was a multinational coalition, because the Roman Empire was the largest empire ever seen up until that point. They had an empire stretching from Spain to east of Israel, down into northern Africa, and around all around the Mediterranean. And they bring this huge horde of an army from all over, and they completely destroy Israel. And they think that they're destroying the people of God, but they're not. Their plans are frustrated because really the people of God are now those who are in Christ and who are scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And so they think they're getting rid of the people of God, but they're not getting rid of the people of God. They're actually being used as an instrument of judgment against the Jewish people, who in that moment are being judged for their persecution of God's people and their rejection of God's son. But I don't think that's the complete fulfillment. I don't think that Roman invasion in AD 68 to 70 is the complete fulfillment. I think there's a yet future, and I don't know that it's going to be a literal physical invasion of the land of Israel. I think it's going to be, if I pick this up from Revelation when we were in there, and some of the things that Jesus said about in the latter times, I think there's going to be a global persecution of God's people that is being symbolized here in the form of a massive multinational army invading the land of Israel, because it's going to be the whole world united to persecute God's people. And they're going to try, they're going to think they have all the power, and they're going to try to wipe them out. But in the end, there's going to be a great earthquake, and the cursing of all creation, and the mountains thrown down. Look at verse 20. The cliffs falling, every wall tumbling to the ground, pestilence and bloodshed. This is the language of Revelation. And I think it's drawn in part here from Ezekiel. If there's earthquakes and rumblings and peals of thunder and fire and sulfur and hailstones, all of this is language that's used later in Revelation. That even makes reference to Gog and Magog. So I think this is ultimately fulfilled in the last battle. But what do we learn from it? Here's what we learn from it. God will always protect his people in his way according to his timing. None of the evil persecutions of the world against God's people will ultimately succeed. God's kingdom will stand forever, and even the particular persecutions of peoples of God in certain places, while they may be severe, those who die, if they die in the Lord, they go to paradise, and they're going to come back with the Lord Jesus, and they're going to sit on thrones, and they're going to judge the nations. They will, in the end, judge their persecutors. They will. And there will be a final end to all evil. So the raging of the nations, Psalm 2 says, why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain to take their stand against the Lord and against his anointed? That's what we see here. Gog and Magog and all these nations, they're taking their stand. They're plotting against the Lord and against his anointed. And in the end, it will not succeed. When you see cultures turning against Christ and his church, when you see nations persecuting God's people, do not be afraid. No one will overthrow King Jesus from his throne. No one will thwart the kingdom of God from its advance. No one will upset the purposes of God. Do not be afraid. When we get afraid, we start acting in panic and anger and self-protection, and we start misrepresenting Christ. Stay faithful. Persevere by grace. And give glory to God through it all. Let's pray. Father, you are sovereign over all things in heaven and on earth, and you keep your people. You know how to keep your own. Thank you. Help us to persevere in faith and in faithfulness to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, that's Ezekiel 38. The prophecy continues in Ezekiel 39, but we're going to make a detour first and go back to 2 Corinthians and pick up 2 Corinthians 12 tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.